Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Lafondra looking to get cross-side of Font. Lafondra away from David. 3-1 Reading. 3 points Reading.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome to the Unparked Royals podcast supported by Blue Collar Street Food. I am Alex, your host, here to talk through Carlisle 1, Reading 3. Joining me today after a mammoth 600-mile round trip to basically what is Scotland is Eric. How are you this morning?
Yeah, still buzzing. What a great away day. Absolutely beautiful drive up through the peaks there, the snowtop peaks, up into nearly Scotland. And obviously a good result, good performance.
And somebody who decided to join us in Carlisle, despite missing his pickup yesterday morning because he forgot to set an alarm, Matthew Lansley. Well done on setting your alarm for this morning.
Good morning. Thank you very much. I just see it as I got an extra hour and a half in bed, personally. I thought I was winning, but it was a long journey up. It was ample punishment, I think, for missing the alarm.
Thankfully, you haven't missed this morning's alarm, which is much more important, I think. Let's get into the game yesterday. We made one change, Matt, with Michael Craig coming in for Charlie Savage in central midfield. Did it make sense yesterday to just make that one change?
I think Craig and Savage are much of a muchness at this point. I think Savage is better against those weaker teams, but you know, I think you can kind of change them in and out quite freely now. I think, you know, they do offer a little bit different, each of them. You know, we've said it before, Craig is a little bit more defensive. He enforces that midfield a bit. He enables wing to go forwards a bit, but Savage can pick up the ball. He can carry it a bit more and kind of, I guess, be a bit more creative against those weaker teams. I'm not overly disappointed. I don't think with either that I see at the moment, especially after yesterday's performance. You know, I think Savage has probably edged the performances of late, but you've got to say Craig yesterday was fantastic. Given his recent performance as well, have kind of been a bit subpar, you might say, which is credit to obviously how well he's done of late. But yeah.
Yeah, I think Craig was very good in the first half yesterday, particularly. Second half was a bit quieter, but I think that kind of comes with the territory of, you know, once you're ahead in the game, his role becomes a bit more diminished. Eric, the first, 15 minutes or so, it was pretty even. Carlisle had a couple of opportunities where they looked like they were coming forwards, but they never really created an actual chance. We looked like we were going to create chances as well. It was pretty end-to-end, I think, actually, despite no chances being created.
Yeah, I think we needed a bit of time to settle into the game. They had a couple of dangerous crosses early on, I seem to remember, and it was a little bit end-to-end. But then as the game progressed, we then obviously took control. But I think, yeah, that first 15 minutes, we were in the away end, obviously, with, should be mentioned, 1,380 of us, which was really good considering it was Carlisle. We weren't that comfortable, I wouldn't say, in the first 15 minutes or so.
Yeah, 1,380 yesterday was a ridiculously, good following for what is easily the furthest away trip of the season. I know a lot of it probably comes because it's Carlisle and it's, 40 years or something since we've played them. But it's still impressive all the same, right? I mean, it's going to be one of our larger away followings this season. So it was good to get 3 points there, certainly. You're right in terms of the you know, both teams needed time to settle in. I think some of those early crosses were a little bit concerning because it did feel like the game had one of those, the team which scores first is going to, you know, put the pressure on the opposition. Matt, the first goal did come just after 15 minutes. I think it was about 16, 17 minutes. And we, before this, actually had hit the post through Sam Smith just maybe a minute earlier. And I think it was Harvey Nibbs played through Sam Smith pretty much from the halfway line. And Sam Smith found the space in between the two centre-backs and was through on goal. Should he do better on the one-on-one here? Or has the keeper, you know, worked himself into a good position?
Look, I think whenever you're in a one-on-one situation as a striker, you're going to want to score it, aren't you? I think Smith is probably going to want that one back. I think you've got to give a bit of credit to the keeper. He stands his ground well. You know, he doesn't move back into his goal. You know, he stays nice and forward and kind of makes it a much harder chance for Smith, because even though it's a one-on-one, he forced him to have the shot from about 25 yards. You know, I think you've got to kind of credit what the keeper's able to do there. But you know, on the flip side, like I say, I think Smith is going to be ruining it a bit. He could have had a few goals yesterday, and you know, he could have really got the game going there, but it didn't take too much longer, did it? I mean, it's a fantastic goal for Smith that he scores, a cute little finish. It's a lovely ball from Lewis Wing. How many times have we said that this season, you know, with Lewis Wing, the little dink over the top to Smith, and a really smart finish from Smith, really just, you know, tucks it in. I think the keeper's expecting a bit of a lob over him because it's bouncing, but it's just a brilliant all-round goal, you know, and it calmed the nerves a bit, because whenever you see a one-on-one missed, like Smith did, you're always a bit jittery, aren't you? But seeing Smith go and do that straight after, you know, it was a top goal.
Go on, Eric, throw out the Lewis Wing love here, because the assist was kind of ridiculous.
Yeah, I've just been saying now for a couple of weeks. I've been on the pod a few times since obviously coming back, and every week I seem to be complimenting Lewis Wing, and I think he's just playing at a level above. And I want to start the campaign for Lewis Wing for Player of the Season early. I think he's in there. The Player of the Season award tends to go to the players that score the goals, but I actually think Lewis Wing is our most important player at this point. I think he's our most influential player, and he would be the biggest.
He has scored some good goals as well, though, to be fair to him.
And of course, he's added some goals, yeah. But actually, his influence on the play is far above and beyond, and I think he's certainly in the running for Player of the Season. If you think about who's up there, it would be him. Probably Tyler Bindon, the way he's played, especially since the turn of the year.
Smith, and then obviously Nibs, Aziz, there's loads of people who've got a chance
Nibs,
to
Aziz,
be,
yeah. You know,
up there.
Alex definitely. And I had this conversation on the way home yesterday, because like we were talking about who's our favourite player within this Reading FC squad. You know, and I mean, I guess you can look at, you know, well, I think we both said that Wing is, you know, by far and away the most talented, you know, and probably the best player in this team. But, you know, I think Harvey Nibbs has got a shoo-in in that Player of the Season race, just because of how liked he is in the fan base. You know, everyone seems to just love him, quite rightly. You know, he just seems to get it.
If Lewis Wing has a few more games like yesterday, he's got a chance. But saying that, you know, Harvey Nibbs also had a good game yesterday. So I think it's going to be a very competitive race for Player of the Season for once, instead of just a one horse race right at the end of the season and somebody just walking away with it. It might actually be quite close, which is really nice. We continued the first half. We didn't create a ton of chances in that first half between the first and second goal, Matt. But Andy Yeardom turned into prime Cafu.
Oh,
this run.
It's this run is just sensational from Yeardom. You know, I could watch this run a number of times. Assist of the season, quite possibly. You know, I think for Andy Yeardom here, you know, just it's the step over. If you can watch it back, if you can watch this goal back, that number 22, he might have just had his career ruined and career finished, because the way he's just stopped, he gets sold so well on the little step over to the inside. Yeardham takes it to the outside and just watch his reaction. He just stands there and watches. I guess what else can you do when that happens to you? It sometimes happens to me down at five aside, and you just got to look at it and just think, yeah, fair enough. But I mean, it's a fantastic run. It's a fantastic assist. And I mean, it's nice seeing us score a little cutting cross back, to be honest, you know. Just so many times we've tried stuff like this. Normally they're fizzed out from the outside, but it's a lovely run to the byline from Yeardham.
Do you often come up against Prime Cafu at five-a-side, or
sorry?
So do you often come up against Prime Cafu in five-a-side, or is it just all like, the time?
All the time. It's definitely not down to my ability that causes that.
I didn't think it would be. It was great to see Harvey Nibbs get a goal, Eric, because I think, you know, the early pass through to Smith, I think he had a couple of other like really decent moments in the game outside of the goals that he scored as well. He was kind of all over the place yesterday, particularly in kind of after the first goal.
Yeah, I think Harvey Nibbs has been fantastic. He's our top scorer as well now. He has been for a little while, but he's hit double figures, is what I meant to say. Double figures in league goals for the season, which is brilliant. And yeah, he was probably man of the match, would you say, yesterday? He was absolutely everywhere. He was running right until the last minute. And obviously for the first goal, half of the players went over and celebrated with Yeardham, rightly so, for the assist. But the other half went and celebrated with Nibbs. And then he had a really good game. Yeah, I would say he was probably my man of the match. Absolutely fantastic. And you could see how much he really enjoys the adulation from the fans, right? He loves that kind of interaction, which is really nice, because actually having a player that wants to connect with the fans is quite nice and refreshing.
I saw a stat yesterday evening on the way back from Carlisle, which was that Harvey Nibbs only needs another three or four. I can't remember the exact number, but it was three or four goals to match his Cambridge United goal tally for the entirety of the time that he was there. And he was there for 4 years. Yeah, which really highlights what a good season he's having.
Yeah, I think he played out on the wing for Cambridge quite a lot. He'd play like an attacking midfielder out on the wing, whereas for us, he tends to be that second striker, like plays like a number 10 almost, but he can kind of have a bit of a free role at times in the attacking phases, and he turns up all over the place, and obviously, more importantly, turns up in dangerous areas, like he showed for both the goals. Yeah,
his finishing has improved a lot as well, I think, because one of the things that we definitely criticised Harvey Nibbs for, particularly at the start of the season, was the fact that his finishing seemed really just quite weak. The finishing, when we look at the goal, we'll come on to it, but we look at the second goal he scored and we look at some of the goals he scored in the last kind of couple of months, actually his finishing has been pretty good. And it definitely feels like he's improved as a player over the last 6 months or so, which goes for, you know, a number of the players, really. Femi Aziz is one as well. Harvey Nibbs is another. I would argue, you know, Michael Craig has improved massively. Tyler Bindon, there's so many of them who've actually improved. And when you compare this to last season, and one of the things that we, you know, whinged about for the last couple of years is the fact that none of the players are actually improving under us. They're playing. They're not being coached necessarily. This team at the minute,
he's still really young, Nibbs. Like when you look at his age, 25. He's 24. He'll be 25 by the end of the season, but he's still 24. You know, so like there's still so much growth available in them. But like you say, Alex, like we've been so almost devoid of managers actually improving players. Whilst they've been here, you know, Paul Ince, you know, you probably couldn't even mention one player that he improved. Paulo, you could maybe say that, you know, he brought through the likes of Elise, but you know, you're talking 2-3 years back at this point.
The thing with Elise is he has like massive natural talent, very obvious talent straight away, right?
Yeah, so no, definitely.
I think one of the things obviously to mention with that is that when you look at the club and the way that it's been run over the last, what, 6-7 years now, one of the things that we've obviously struggled with, Eric, with, you know, not improving players, is the fact that we haven't really ever then had players who've gone on to be able to be sold for more money. I mean, you look at maybe John Swift, Liam Moore, maybe Yakub Mate could have gone for more money than we bought them for, but so many of the players over the last 6 or 7 years, we bought them and then it was like that was the peak of their value.
Yeah, you show it's a real mismanagement by the club. And I talked about this in the car on the way home. You look at how we were run back in the 106 days, and we bought players from lower leagues and random places, people like Shorey and Murty, and we got Sidwell and Harper out of Arsenal, and then they all had resale value. Whereas look at who we bought sort of a bit later on, Shaun Aluko, when he was 28 or something, for huge money. We bought Puskas, who obviously didn't turn out to be a very good signing in the end. And just all these players that you buy them and then there's no resale value, which is just, it's just bad business sense. Whereas if you look at what we're trying to do now, obviously we've got an embargo, so we're picking players up on a free, which is kind of forced. But actually, the likes of Nibs, the likes of Smith, the likes of Bindon, you would imagine that actually that there's some resale value there. If we do continue to do well, there's going to be clubs higher up that will look at those players for sure, as well as then still using the academy with the likes of Aziz and those types of players to bring through. And it just makes so much more sense. And it shows that hopefully the club is turning. I don't think it's thanks to the leadership at the moment. I think it's forced because of the embargoes. But hopefully when the new owner comes in, if a new owner comes in, then we can get a bit better. Matt, what did you want to add?
I was just going to add, don't get attached to it to players.
It's going to be
a sad time, isn't it? Because, you know, I think we all know some of these players are probably going to have to be shifted on at some point, because we're going to have to. We've not done that for, you know, 6, 7, 8 plus years right at this point.
It's already happening. Nelson Abbey, for example. Yeah. It's a shame, but it's just the way the club has been run. And
it's the way that League One works. If you're a good player, you don't hang around in League One for that long. Like,
yeah,
that's just how it works.
Yeah,
enjoy the more like, here.
Yeah, and it's actually nice though to have a squad of players that you can get attached to, because actually under Inspall, you know, it was quite hard. I found it quite hard to relate to the team and have a favourite player in the squad. Whereas now, the ones we mentioned and the ones that we've been calling out, Bindon, Wing, Aziz, Smith, Nibs, they're all likeable characters. So it's nice.
For sure. I mean, you mentioned Aziz in that list, and he almost made it 3-0 before half time, Eric. And this was a ridiculously good set. I think it was pretty much the last kick of the half. And Carlisle were, I would say, on their knees at this point, because Reading really looked like they could basically score a win almost. And Aziz picks up the ball on the left hand side after a through ball, pushes it kind of like to the left hand side of the area. Hits it across the face of the keeper, who gets down and makes a you know, pretty good one-handed save in the far corner. And it quite easily could have been 3-0 before half-time, were it not for that.
And it wouldn't have been undeserved. I say, we had Smith to hit the post, we had some other chances, and yeah, the keeper deserved some credit. It was a great save. And it was literally the last kick of the first half, wasn't it? So... or was it a corner after? I can't remember. But it was right towards the end. And yeah, fantastic, fantastic save from the keeper. And you think 3-0 at half time, the game would have been dead and buried. Whereas 2-0, you think, okay, they get a goal back, then you're all of a sudden you're a little bit nervous. So it was a big moment for them, I think, to still have a chance. But we dominated. After that first 15 minutes, we dominated, and rightly with 2-0 up.
I'll be honest, like that. The start of the second half, Reading basically came back out, Matt, and it was one-way traffic for the first 25 minutes or so of the second half.
Yeah. I think the very first attack went to Carlisle, and that was pretty much it. You know, I think they lumped it forward. I think they had one very, very minor chance, and then it was just a continuation. It felt really comfortable, which is weird at an away game, and weird watching Reading FC obviously away. Because
I mean, one thing to say is that I think yesterday, obviously we can praise Reading a lot in this, but it's very, very obvious why Carlisle are bottom of the table based on yesterday. They struggled so much. Yeah. It really was a case. I know the comments from Paul Simpson earlier in the week were about like us having championship level players and stuff, but it really was like a case of not men versus boys, but it was like watching two teams in different leagues, because Carlisle struggles just so much in terms of things like even simple stuff like ball control. But you can see the zero confidence in that team. It really was reminiscent of watching kind of like Reading in the Premier League under Brian McDermott, and just basically struggling against teams with more technical ability than them.
I said it to the chap next to me. The only quality really that I saw in that Carlisle team was actually from their keeper, who made a couple of really good saves and probably kept the score lower than it should have been, because I really don't think it would have been unfair had it have been 5 or 6, to be honest. Carlisle are up there, you know, with a Shrewsbury, you know, this season for worst teams that I've seen play against us. I know Shrewsbury have beaten us twice, but they're up there with them for me, you know, with worst teams. They just lack any sort of quality. I mean, there was that point, I think it was after we went 3-0 up, where there was about a 5-minute period of play where the centre backs must have made about 5 to 10 dreadful passes and touches just out of play, and they're almost just looking around, just like, what can I do there? Well, keep the ball in play. Don't take such a heavy touch. Takes it straight out of play. They've got a lot of work really to do next year, I feel, to kind of stick in League Two. I know we had the conversation on the way back, Alex.
We met with a friend of mine who's a Carlisle fan pre-game, and he texted me afterwards and he said, like, we're going to have to make some changes over summer in order just to not make sure that we don't slide down the table next year in League Two. And we laughed at it a bit in the car on the way back, but actually when you look at teams in League One, you don't really consider the fact that a lot of these, not a lot, but there are definitely some, like Forest Green, for example, have really struggled this year in League Two. And it isn't a case of like you drop from League One to League Two and you just automatically are near the top of the table, because the difference in quality between the two, especially at the top of the league versus the bottom of League One, isn't that different. So you can easily find yourself sitting in like mid-table in League Two very, very easily if you haven't, you know, improved. So yeah, I think he's a little concerned that they're going to have to go through quite a lot of recruitment and basically rip up that back line. But moving back to the football, Eric, 3-0 came, 55 minutes, I think it was. Reading were all over the Carlisle goal at this point. And a brilliant ball in from Femi Aziz down in front of the Reading fans. And Harvey Nibbs gets his second goal.
Yeah, it was funny because I was stood next to you, Alex, and you said 3-0. And I said, I wish you'd stop doing that, because a corner came in and it bounced back out. And I said, I wish you'd stop doing that for then Aziz to put the ball straight into Nibbs to score, which was great because it was great celebrations.
I'll take full credit for that one.
Bit of credit to you, yeah, because you called it. But actually, what I would like to say is great run by Nibbs to run to the near post ahead of his man, and a great cross by Aziz. Nibbs only really had to put his foot on it and redirect it a little bit. The cross was really good and it was inviting. And it was a great goal. And then obviously fantastic celebrations, Harvey Nibbs in front of the Reading fans. I think there was a Harvey Nibbs banner that someone had in the crowd that they were holding up, which there were some photos of, which looked really good, and great celebrations. It was great that we could see a goal down the end where we were sat. The end, which was extending beyond the edge of the pitch, because they planned to move the pitch down in the stadium, but actually they didn't do the move in the end. So the end of the stand extended beyond the end of the pitch, which was a little bit strange. But it was, yeah, nevertheless, really good to see a goal in front of us, which was really nice. And I think well-deserved again, 3-0.
I think we need to get some justice for Harvey Nibbs, because Jude Bellingham is doing Harvey Nibbs a massive disservice stealing his celebration. I'm not going to hear that it's the Jude Bellingham, it's the Harvey Nibbs.
You know? That is a copyright claim incoming there from Harvey Nibbs, if I'm honest. That is, he can't be getting away with this for much longer.
And also, chaps, Harvey Nibbs yesterday had a brace and a really good game. Jude Bellingham got sent off, so, you know. Who would you rather have?
Who's the real MVP, right? You know.
There you go.
I mean, one thing we have discussed before, Alex, as well, is kind of Nibbs's, not quality, but kind of his impact in away games. It was just so nice seeing Nibbs kind of come to the fore in a game like yesterday, away from home, grab a couple of goals, could have had a few assists on another day.
He basically dominated the game, really, didn't he? So often in away games, we think, he doesn't really tend to get into games. And I think one of the things about yesterday is that he got into the game because Sam Smith got into the game. One of the things that it's the same. It was very similar. I said it to the person who stood next to us about the way that Sam Smith got into the game was the fact that the I almost said Shrewsbury there, but it was basically the same thing. The Shrewsbury players last week let Sam Smith kind of drift away from them. So often over the last couple of months, defenders have basically had their arms like wrapped round Smith, and he hasn't been able to get into the game as much. But whereas last week and yesterday, Smith drifts away from the defender. He gets the space, so he's actually able to bring the ball in, and he's not able. He doesn't have to just flick the ball on or find he's dragged down by a defender.
He was helped with it by a defensive line though that was almost pretty much in different postcodes at times when they were up the field and back.
Yeah. I mean, if you watch the first goal back, like literally you could split that defence into right and left. One half of it has stayed deep and one half of it has come forwards, and it's just a mess.
So bad.
But it helps Nib so much when Smith is able to come off of the defender a bit because Nib's then is in the game straight away. And I mean, Eric's just put a point in our chat here about the fact that when we win midfield, we then end up winning the game. And the fact that Nibs is in the game means that we're much more likely to win that midfield battle because you then can bring, once Nibs is in the game, it unlocks players like Aziz out wide. It unlocks, it unlocks
quality,
wing behind
it?
Nibs. And you can leave Savage or Craig sitting deeper. And I think that central core that we've got, when they play well together, we win game. We could beat anybody in the league, I think. I know we obviously lost against Portsmouth, who were top of the league, but
yeah,
I think we can beat anybody in the league when that central three plays well. When Nibs, Wing, and Savage or Craig are playing well together.
I think the real big difference there is actually the energy. Like they all, those three, either Craig or Savage with Wing and Nibs, they bring so much energy to the press. They never stop running. And we tend to, I've seen it since coming back, some of the games, we've really overrun the other team in midfield. And then that then unlocks, like you said, Alex, some of the other players further forward. So I really, really like seeing Nibs play in that number 10 role and then dropping into midfield for the press. And he presses up high with Smith at times. He sticks in that deeper role at times to press. And it just helps us win the ball a bit higher up the pitch, which then either allows us to build attacks or to hit the other team on a bit of a counter-attack. So, yeah, it's working really well. And obviously all of this that we've just discussed is credit to the coaching staff for picking those players and also that formation. And that formation seems to be working well for us at the moment. And you'd argue, since the turn of the year, we've been competitive in pretty much every game.
I think one of the things that Nib said after his his post-match interview yesterday was the fact that everyone gets it now. The players get it. They know what the formation is. They know what the style is. They know what their roles are. So it's not a case that the players are learning now. They know what they're doing in terms of this formation and this style of football, which I think is obviously, enabling the performances to be much, much better because we're not sitting watching players who are trying to still understand how to play the system, as it were, because they all get it at this point. They've been coached into it. The 10 minutes, Matt, after the goal, I reckon might be some of the most, I don't want to say best because we didn't score, but it was certainly some of the most fun football that I've seen Reading play. They just looked all of a sudden like they were the most confident players I've ever seen. At that moment, between, I don't know what minute it was, like 55 and 65, they could have taken on literally any team in the world in that 10 minutes with the confidence that they had. Every time they got the ball, within 30 yards, a player picked it up and the first thing they were thinking was, I'm going to run towards the goal and get a shot away.
Yeah, just after the third goal, the chap next to me said it's going to be 5. You looked at what was going on before. You wouldn't have kind of betted against that. Ear Bisherman had a great chance. That was kind of, I guess, luckily kept out. Kind of it went through the keeper's legs, but kind of he was able to get something on it, which took it wide. It's just nice being at an away game, being able to enjoy it. Because even the away wins that we've had this season have been one goal wins. This just felt like it just felt like a quality apart, you know. And I think the midfield ran the show yesterday. It really did. Like, you talk about the midfield winning the battle yesterday. They'd won it after 20 minutes, and it just continued through the game pretty much. Carlisle had nothing in that midfield, and that freedom that actually gave us to go forwards. And I mean, once you're 3-0 up, that just, you know, extends really, right? Because they've got the confidence. They know that they're almost definitely winning that game. And I think the players were having fun as well. You know, you looked at like some of the things they were doing. Yeardham was doing fancy flicks around the corner. There was a few LAs going around and everything. You know, it was really, really fun. Of course, you knew Carlisle were going to come back into it at some point. You know, they had to. They pretty much chucked 5-6 players forward at every opportunity at that point. But, you know,
we've got Kelvin almost scored, but, and we've gone through obviously the three goals now. Kelvin almost scored. Aziz almost scored with that shot that Eric was talking about just before half time. Sam Smith then almost scored, Eric. Another goal from a header which went very, very close, just wide of the post. We created so many big chances yesterday.
Yeah, if you look at the stats, I had the stats up before the game. Carlisle only had one shot on target. They won the shots off target, so 13-11, but on target it was 8-1. And this is a bit like what I was saying against Shrewsbury. I think we only had one shot on target in the second half and we were punished. Yesterday we had 8 shots on target plus Smith hitting the post, which doesn't count as a shot on target, and we've scored 3 goals. We could have easily, like Matt said a bit earlier, scored 5 or 6. They had one shot on target and it went in. I'm guessing it was the one that went in. So it's quite telling. And yeah, like you both said, both of you chaps, it was so much fun being at an away day, being a couple of goals up, singing the songs and just enjoying the football. It was really nice. It's been a long time coming, especially for you two. Been to a lot of away games in the last few years. So it's well deserved for you both.
It was good because like you started thinking like, well, we're 3-0 up, maybe take Smith off, rest his legs, bring Wareham on. You know, you could have made changes in the midfield. I mean, I guess Sellers kept it the same because it was working, it was going well. Why change things, right, when things are going well? But you know, you were almost thinking, you know, to, you know, start resting players, which again, how many times have we said that in Reading games, not even like away games of you know, the last few years? Never. I just hope that they take this confidence forward, because you look at that midfield, how they won the battle and kind of, you know, allowed Smith and Aziz and Ear Bishman to kind of play how they did. And I think it was probably one of Ear Bishman's poorer games yesterday, but you know, he still could have scored. But that midfield, you know, that really gave it the platform to kind of go forwards, you know, in this game. Hopefully they can take the confidence, because you look at the three of them in the middle, it's probably one of the better, I wouldn't say the best, but you know, you're probably looking at a top 8, top 6 midfield. Maybe I'm getting ahead of myself there, maybe, I don't know, but you know, I think they're a good combination.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Carlisle did score, which takes a little tiny bit of shine off it, I think, yesterday, Eric. It's a decent header from the centre-back, Mellish. I don't really think there's anything Button can do about it. They've won the ball pretty cleanly in the area for the header.
What I'm more upset about is the foul leading up to it. It was a little bit sort of...
It was just a bit unnecessary, wasn't it?
Yeah, it looked to me like it was a foul in real time. I haven't seen it back, which felt really needless because it was not really a dangerous situation and Mola's just yanked their player down. So straight away you think, okay, a little bit unnecessary. And then, yeah, it was a good cross, good header. I don't think there's a lot you could do about it from a defensive point of view. It's just one of those where It was right on the money, and the header is from quite close range, and it hits the bar and goes in. So it's, yeah, takes the shine off a tiny bit, but again, at the end of the game, did any of us care? Not particularly.
Not hugely, no. And I think, you know, given how much they threw forwards once they went 3-0 down, it felt inevitable that they were at least going to get one chance. The fact that they've scored, yes, it's a little bit frustrating that we didn't keep a clean sheet, but I mean, we've still got the 3 points, and really that's what matters yesterday. And I mean, let's look at the table very briefly, because the table now looks much, much better this morning, Eric, than it did, I don't know, 24 hours ago before these games were played, because Reading, with their win yesterday, now move up to 39 points after the 2-point deduction in midweek. And 39 points now puts us in 16th place, because nearly no other team won yesterday in the bottom 10. I think, in fact, we might have been the only team to win in the bottom half, except for Fleetwood.
Yeah, it was the table, the results definitely went our way. I think Charlton winning at one point ended up drawing, Burton drew, Cambridge, Shrewsbury, Port Vale all lost. So the results went our way. Obviously, we had to take care of our result first, but we now have a 5-point gap to the bottom places. Cheltenham are on 34 points. They have a couple of games in hand, but in their form, Cheltenham and Port Vale, who says they're going to win those games in hand? So there's a 5-point gap, which gives us a little bit of breathing space. And we have two winnable home games coming up. We have an away game at Derby, which is obviously difficult, but we have home versus Wickham next week. Wickham are on quite a bad run. They've lost 3 out of their last 5, lost again yesterday, and they've got to come to the SCL. And then we have Cambridge, who are on even more of a worse run. They've lost 4 straight games and looked really unconvincing, according to my friend who's a Cambridge fan. So 2 winnable games at home coming up, and yeah, 5 points to the bottom 4. It all looks a little bit more positive. So we'll see how many points the EFL decide to take off us this week, and then we'll make up for it next weekend.
People might look at games in hand of, you know, the teams below us, but when you're down there, it really means nothing. You know, I think, you know, Cheltenham, you know, they've been good, but, you know, they're averaging a point a game. You know, likewise with Port Vale, averaging under less than a point a game. You know, for them to win both games, it's just, if they do, it's kind of a freakish kind of run like Huddersfield had last year. I don't think you're going to see that very often. But you know, it's a lot nicer. It's nice being above, you know, the likes of Burton, Cambridge, and Shrewsbury, because
I think
they
that's
are
the main
bad.
Thing, really, isn't it? It's that, yeah. even if Cheltenham and Port Vale suddenly, you know, turn it around and they win both their games in hand, and Cheltenham are above us and Port Vale are just a point behind us, well, we're still not in the relegation zone, because Burton, Charlton, Cambridge, and Shrewsbury are all in between us now, and it just means that we're kind of heading that pack rather than chasing that pack all of a sudden.
It's all about points on the board at this stage. Points on the board, the sooner the better. And we have that 5-point cushion, which is really nice. And we need to take advantage. But if we average 1 point a game until the end of the season, we end on 49, which is close to that magic limit of 50. No side has ever been relegated with 50, I don't think.
I think one has, and that's it.
One,
I think,
maybe.
I think maybe Peterborough got... Oh, maybe that was the Championship, so... Perhaps that's different.
So if we average 1 point a game, I'm hoping we could do better. Our form since the turn of the year suggests that we will do better. And we are playing a few of these sides like Burton, like Cambridge coming up, who are struggling. So let's hope we can take advantage and be safe way before the end of the season.
I think the players have got the confidence, though, right, moving forwards. I think they generally believe that, you know, that they should be, you know, mid-table, kind of upper mid-table team at this point. I think they're doing more than enough to kind of prove that with the performances they're putting in, the results they're getting. They've become a very hard to beat team. You know, you take the kind of Shrewsbury game out of it, which was kind of a bit of an anomaly when you look at some of the goals that kind of went in, and how Shrewsbury actually played and how we played that game. You know, I think the players have every right to kind of be confident moving into this run. You know, you're playing some of the lesser teams in the division, you know, the Cambridges and Burtons, like you say, Eric, there's no reason why they can't do kind of similar to what they've done to Carlisle. You know, I think when Carlisle played Burton last week, I mean, Alex, they chap that you mentioned it on the preview, one of the worst teams they've played this year. And that's Carlisle saying that. I remember when they came to the Medeski, they were shocking. had two or three shots all game. I know now I've said that, I've probably tempted.
Let's not get ahead of ourselves too much. there's still 10 games to go. Nobody wants to jinx anything just yet. But I think, yeah, we've got to be looking upwards at this point rather than downwards, certainly. I did ask for some questions. I appreciate that was probably only like an hour ago that I asked for questions. So I'm just going to kind of throw some in. One question that we had from Pippa was, is this team one of the most likable that we've had in the last few years? And I'm going to kind of like preface it with some of the quotes that we saw from the post-match stuff, particularly from Ruben Selez and Harvey Nibbs. Ruben Selez, one of his quotes was, "Yesterday we arrived at the hotel and some fans approached us sharing their views. This morning I was with a couple of technical staff having a coffee in the hotel and fans from Reading were sitting with us, cheering us and supporting." I think it's very rare to find a team which is sitting in the bottom, well, they were in the bottom four of the table, and fans coming up to their manager and their staff pre-game, basically, you know, cheering them on, right, Eric?
Yeah, it's fantastic. And I think there's a couple of factors here, right? One is the circumstances, all the points deductions. It's kind of united us as a team plus fan base because we're fighting the authorities. So I think that's a factor. But also, you can really see that they're working for the shirt, playing for the team. You can see what Selles is trying to do. You can see that he's improving the squad and improving results. So all those factors means that, yeah, it probably is one of the more likeable squads we've had for a long time. If you take out the two sides that won promotion, you know, beyond that, you would say maybe the team understand they got to the playoff final, but that wasn't necessarily full of super likeable characters. And yeah, you have a team now, which I think because of the circumstances, we're all feeling quite united, the team and the fan base, which is really nice.
I think one of the things that really helps, Matt, like Eric's saying, is obviously the team and the squad and the fans are very united behind one goal, as it were. And Selez mentioned the videos which were shared on social media over the last couple of days about the fact that, you know, there's videos which kind of show Reading values and team values and how hard that everyone is working to achieve the same goals. And that he showed the players and he thinks that was the right thing to do to kind of show them that, you know, people are behind them. And I feel like the fans and the team, everybody is in the same lockstep. There is a very kind of like obvious goal for everybody, and everybody is working in the same way and wants the same outcome.
It's something that we've been kind of, I guess, devoid of for years. When you look at it, and I saw a tweet, I think it was from Greg Double on Twitter yesterday, you know, the team last year could have done the exact same with the points deductions, with the hardship they kind of faced last year, but they didn't. You know, they were too focused on their CVs and that. This team, you've got, you know, likes of Smith and Nibbs, good teammates, good friends seemingly from previous teams. The team has just seemingly gelled so well. And I mean, maybe it's the man management of Selez. You know, I don't think the contrast could be, you know, even greater kind of compared to, you know, the Paul Ince era. It's just complete polar opposites of the man management that Selez brings, and kind of even the way he talks about kind of the team in his press conferences, you know, calling the team his boys and, you know, everything on that side. It's tiny things, but
it's one of the things that you notice when we win games is that when we win games, obviously the teams come over, particularly to like the away end or, you know, at the end of home games, and they come over to like the corner between the East Stand and 1871. Ruben never, ever has come over and taken centre stage. Even when fans are cheering his name, first thing he's doing is pointing at the rest of the squad and the rest of the staff. He never takes credit for their achievements, as it were.
I think, you know, like people say that the team get it, but I think a lot of that comes from the management, right? You know, you look at what Selez has done and kind of the mentality he's kind of instilled. He's never kind of wavered. You know, yes, he had the wobbles at the start of the season when nothing really seemed to be going right for the team. You know, even when we were playing well, there were clangers, there were, you know, defensive errors, there were mistakes, and it just would never just go right. You know, you were just looking at it and just thinking, how could how can it be going so wrong, you know, in that situation? But he's to keep a group together and as united from that position, you know, when you think of the lows of Northampton away, Leighton Orient away, Shrewsbury away, to come back from that, to have a group so united still, it's got to have come from the manager. You know, you've got to give massive credit to the players. But, you know, I mean, Eric, with the players you've got there, they're just, yeah, like, yeah, they all just did it.
I was just going to say, like, credit to the manager was the point you just made. The fact that the manager was even willing to show those videos that were fan-made to the players for that motivation. And I think there was a quote, was it from Nibs, that said that was all the motivation they needed. That's absolutely fantastic, right? It's clever. It's uniting the fan base. It's showing that the fans are back in the team, and it's working at the moment. So just fingers crossed now that we do stay up and we get a new owner at some stage, because then we actually have a platform to build on with this team and this group of players.
One last thing, just quickly on that, is that they just look like they're having fun as well. We've said it a couple of times, but after games, you know, it's easy just to go around applause, you know, look happy and that. But you've got Mbenge and Nibs, you know, dancing, doing the whatever you call the ways, whatever you want to call them, the little pumps. I don't know what you call them, but they all just seem to be having fun. You know, actually, we missed it on the third goal. And Mbenge even does a cartwheel over to celebrate with Nibs. It's, yeah.
I'm going to have to rewatch the replay.
It might have been from a video in the crowd. I saw it. I think it might have been from Tyler Sten, maybe, that I saw it. And it's just fun, you know, and it's so much easier to get behind a team that looks like they're having fun. You know, they're not just, you know, plastic wooden or just wooden planks or something that are just going through the motions or whatever you want to say. They're actually enjoying it and enjoying each other's company and enjoying the fans' company as well, which is what it's all about.
I'm going to ask one more question from Andrew. Where are we ranking Ruben in terms of Reading managers? Am I getting carried away suggesting he's the best boss we've had since McDermott left the first time? I'm going to answer this one first. Yes, you are a little bit, Andrew. Based on the fact that we've won a couple of games, he's not suddenly the best manager we've had in the last 10 years. We are still League One and we are still 15th. We have to put a little bit of a cap on realism where we are, you know, even without the points deductions, I think we'd be 13th. We can't get too carried away. He's very likable. I think that's the main thing, right?
Undoubtedly, he's doing likeable. A great job under really difficult circumstances. That's no question whatsoever. But yeah, to rank him up there, like with other Reading managers, it's super difficult because obviously each of those Reading managers have been dealt a different hand in terms of budget, players, squad, existing, you know, things. So difficult. But yeah, undoubtedly, Ruben Selles is doing an incredible job under what is absolutely ridiculous circumstances. Keeps losing players, finds a way to replace them. Keeps having points deductions, but it's finding ways to get results along with what Matt just called out, which is the team look like they're having fun. The team spirit looks great. He's connected the fans with the team. So brilliant. And for now, you can't criticize Ruben Selles too much. Matt.
Just one thing, just to wrap up as kind of like, I'd almost just say, just enjoy this team and just try and enjoy the moments that they're going through at the moment. You know, we've had so many years of dross and kind of disconnect between fans and players and staff. Just enjoy what we've got at the moment. Don't keep looking back and thinking and comparing to, you know, managers of yesteryears. Just enjoy what we've got at the moment. Get back down to the stadium, back the team, go to the away games. Hopefully, you know, we've had some really good away followings this year. Hopefully a lot of people are kind of actually realizing what or not realizing but remembering what following Reading away is about. You know, it's like when we're at the services, Alex, and you spot a couple of other Reading fans there, and it's just nice having those interactions and stuff and just seeing people. Just go back down to the stadium, go to away games and just enjoy it. You know, back the team to the hills. We can hopefully come through this season, you know, get safety, and then just look to build from there. But just enjoy it. Don't keep comparing with people of yesteryears. Just enjoy what we've got at the moment and, you know, the moment that they're in.
I think that's a very nice place to end it. Got Cambridge next weekend, Eric. Wickham, sorry. Yeah, Cambridge is in 2 weeks. But Wickham next weekend at home. another big game because we can overtake Wickham if we beat them. And I won't ask for a score prediction because it's a week away, but it is a good thing that it's a week away because we don't have a midweek game. I think we've only got one midweek game this month, actually, which is nice and should allow for the players to get a little bit of rest into their legs.
Yeah, and what I would urge is to watch the preview pod that we're coming out on the Wickham score predictions.
Very good. I was just about to put that in there, but I don't need to now, so that's excellent. We'll be back with that on Thursday, and then we'll be back with a review of the Wickham game on Sunday next week. Until then, have an excellent week, and up the ding.